Aviation Quest to Sea 101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC 101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC, stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placements. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.ca.
Hello and welcome to the Aviation Quest CC podcast. My name is Stefan. I'm one of your hosts today. But of course, as always, I'm not alone. With me here in the virtual studio, we're always in different countries, unfortunately, is Jürgen. Jürgen, how are you?
It's amazing. This whole project is really amazing. I mean, as listeners, maybe, hopefully, know by now, you're a professional pilot. I'm a mental coach focusing on aviation, and it's, yeah, I don't know. Had you told me a year before when we were planning this project what would happen, I would just have left out. I mean, it's crazy. One of the first tasks normally is continuing work on my mental coaching syllabus for aviation professionals. I mean, I mentioned this before in as especially in episode 31. It's an internal coaching manual focused on what I do. Coaching pilots in mental preparation, or helping them with mental preparation and operational readiness. And yeah, then I go often to LinkedIn. And today, Stefan, I took care of all the messages yesterday evening. So I thought today everything will be fine. There were 7 messages. Seven. Yeah, I have to take, you know, everybody who is writing me on LinkedIn knows that I am really, thorough. Also, Stefan knows that I write thoroughly and conscientiously back. And this task is waiting for me later on. But as it looks by now, we are not running out of guests. I'm already coaching pilots. And also today, we already made it with episode 35 to one of the VIP flight instructors, maybe one of the most famous flight instructors on planet Earth. It's crazy, Stefan.
Yes, so today it's episode 35. For anyone who's counting, we welcome the young man called Jason Miller, quite famous for those of you who are online. He's, I guess, the founder, we could say, of the Finer Points podcast. He has a career in teaching young pilots, or, well, pilots. Let's not be discriminative in terms of age. And he's made a proper career out of it. He seems to be extremely good at what he's doing. I don't know how many people he's trained, but it must be a lot. It's his life, it's his passion. And we wanted to hear from him how he got into the profession, how he managed to build up such a huge following online. We talked about his YouTube channel, which is huge, absolutely huge. And of course, what it takes to become a good instructor. Jürgen conducted the interview, as always. And I really enjoyed listening to it, Jürgen. It was a very good interview, right?
Yeah, I mean, Jason Miller, by the way, to have some really follow and subscribe tips here, came to me with a Pilot to Pilot podcast. By the way, Pilot to Pilot podcast, Justin Seams, if you listen to this, great work. Keep going and be our guest sooner or later. Yes, you will. Don't know. I've sent you an invite. Maybe it got to the spam box. I don't know. But if somebody got contact to Justin Seams, certainly we want him here on the show. But Jason Miller was a couple of times at the Pilot to Pilot podcast. So also absolutely subscribed. Pilot to Pilot podcast, subscribe. Jason Miller's the Finer Points podcast. And if you haven't, certainly subscribe to our podcast, but this is enough of subscription today. But I mean, Jason Miller, I think many pilots, it's his way. He is not teaching, certainly it's about flying, but it's not just through instruction, but also through communication and clarity. The way he is teaching and the way he is communicating, the way he also came to me, as I said the first time via Ballet to Ballet podcast, I just thought, at least I have to try to get this man on the show. And yeah, it was an endeavor. It was a couple of emails. He got a whole team. I mean, this the final points is not just a podcast. It is a podcast, but it's a company. And also, I mean, FS Clips is your YouTube channel, Stefan. But if you look at his numbers, you have goals, huh?
I don't think I'll ever get there. But anyway,
it's another animal.
Yes, of course. Yeah, very impressive, very impressive. And I see a lot of what he's doing is very similar to what I'm trying to do, which is teach people about certain topics. And I share his passion that when you meet someone who tells you, hey, I watch your channel and it helped me so much with my exams. I've had this experience now 3-4 times. I have to say it's an amazing feeling and it makes it all worthwhile. And I have a feeling for him that's the driving force. This is not about money. This is not a business. He just really enjoys teaching. And he enjoys passing on knowledge, helping other people to become better pilots. And that, to me, made the whole interview very nice to listen to. It makes him very likable. And I would recommend anyone and everyone to check out his channel and obviously to listen to the interview that's coming now.
No, it isn't. Because speaking of YouTube, we already forgot in one podcast, and it will maybe happen again, but not in this podcast, our own Aviation-Quest podcast YouTube channel. Yes, we are an audio cast, but we are, thanks to Stefan's work, also at YouTube. And there, I think, also is today, what is there in the background of our voices? A real-world flight, maybe, by FS Clips creator Stefan?
Yes. So usually we have real world flights. Sometimes I go a bit off the rails and do something that's not happening in the real world. But today we do a 100% real world flight. So I thought the other day, as some of you know, I live in Spain. I don't think I've ever done an Iberia flight. And that's a bit of a, you know, oversight considering where I live. So today we are flying with Iberia with an Airbus A320 and we are flying from Frankfurt in Germany to Madrid in Spain.
Perfect. Yeah. And I mean, I think, what do you think? Let's get into the conversation with somebody who is, without a doubt, a brilliant flight instructor, but also a great, how should I say, a teacher and communicator who, as I said, speaks with clarity. And also in today's podcast, I think there are some really, really valuable takeaways, not only for flight students.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're even remotely interested in the industry or in teaching, then I would say this is a must listen. So without further ado, let's get into the interview. And Jürgen and I will be back afterwards with, you know, some more thoughts and some more words of wisdom, right, Jürgen? Okay, let's get started.
Jason, it's a great honor to have you with us on Aviation Quest CC. Well, welcome to the show and thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jason, just to get us started, when you look back today, what originally put you toward teaching flying, not just flying itself?
You know, that's a great question, and I'll try not to bore you. There's a long answer and there's a short answer. I think, you know, when I first got into flying, I met a lot of pilots that were not happy with the airline lifestyle. It was just a matter of coincidence, really. I was working a job that there were a lot of Eastern airline pilots that were furloughed at a bad time in their career, and I got into aviation during a very slow time, 1997, 1998. And a lot of pilots telling me, you know, it's a risky career. And so that was sort of my first impression of airline flying. And I still thought that I was going to do it. I thought, well, I'll fly the line. That's what I want to do. But when I moved to California from Chicago in 1998 and started working on my instrument rating, I found a very unique environment in California. I met instructors that had been teaching for their whole lives, you know, that had never gone to the airlines. And it's partially due to the climate. You know, you can fly every day, all year. There's no weather really that grounds you. There are a lot of clients with money and a desire to succeed. So the rates that instructors are able to charge is somewhat higher than other places in the world. And as I started meeting those people, old Navy pilots and other folks that were teaching flying, I really, for the first time, saw that it was possible. You know, I don't think I really thought it was a possible career. Mm-hmm. And I realized I loved it, you know, it's really a people job. You know, it's people say to me sometimes, how can you say the same thing all the time? And it's like, well, I might say the same thing, but I'm saying it to a completely different person, you know? So really I found so much joy in helping people succeed and helping different individuals accomplish their goals. And the lifestyle suited me. You know, I'm a family man and I'm home every night. I'm home every weekend. And it was possible for, you know, in California, in the Bay Area, I found a lot of success teaching flying and just found it to be a really enjoyable job.
Jason, besides the environment, was there maybe one specific moment where you realized that instruction and communication would become your main contribution to aviation?
Yes, I think so. And it's all, you know, a perfect storm. It was 2000. I started teaching in Oakland in 2002. And I knew that I loved teaching. You know, I knew that I loved being with people and meeting different people. And I still think it's incredible, by the way, the people that show up in my airplane are almost without doubt extraordinary individuals. You know, by the time you go for your pilot certificate, you've accomplished things in your life, you know, and so it was really a joy. And then in 2005, one of my clients came to me and said, you should start a podcast. And of course, it was 2005. I said, what's a podcast? And he explained to me, you know, what it was. And it suited me because I my first love in my first career was music. So I was a professional musician before I got into flying. And I thought, well, this is wonderful because I can blend my love for flying, my love for teaching, and my and have a kind of creative outlet to produce materials. And I realized right there that I could take the knowledge that I was giving to one individual and somehow reach a mass audience around the world. And that was really the moment I knew that I was not going to fly for the airlines and that I was going to continue to teach and perfect the art of instruction and do my best to put that material out through the internet, through YouTube when it came and all the other channels to try to make a mark on flight training.
Podcasting, yeah. I recorded my very first podcast in late 2007. But 2005, Jason, this sounds really like a typical Silicon Valley idea. I think not many people...
Exactly.
Podcasting was really a super niche back then, huh?
Very, right. And you have to understand, I was living on a sailboat with a flip phone.
Yeah.
You know, I was not a tech guy, but my students literally dragged me into it. That same client, when I told him, he explained what it was and he gave me some examples. And I still said, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's for me. He kind of forced me. He hired me to make podcasts for him. He said, fine, I'll pay you. Make recordings for me. And after I made two or three recordings for him, I realized, okay, I'm just going to do this on my own. And then he became my first sponsor. So he really just kind of pushed me into it. And it was exactly that, just because he was a Silicon Valley guy and knew what this was and where it was going.
Okay. But yeah, if you allow, let's go from the digital sphere back into the cockpit. When you think about good flight instruction nowadays, so we record this in April 2026, what is still often missing, in your opinion?
Oh man, it's so many things. You know, it's I think it's unfortunate, and I think about it a lot, but you know, human beings have been flying for, you know, what is it now, 115 years?
Yeah, and something like this.
Something like that, right? And I still think that we have a hard time teaching the fundamentals. And I don't know exactly why, but the problems still are the same. And in fact, Jürgen, I think they're getting worse. I think that the quality of flight instruction that I see from, you know, around me and around the country, I don't think it's any better today than it was then. In fact, I think we've taken a few steps backwards, and most of it is about the fundamentals, the fundamental relationship to the airplane, how pilots approach flying, like the attitude they bring toward it, and also their just basic skills, fundamental flying skills.
So if I got you right with fundamentals, you emphasized, you mean understanding the craft and, so to say, to look behind or beyond procedures and checklists, correct?
Well, I have a very unique approach to procedures and checklists. And so I do think procedures and checklists are extremely important. But yes, I think that most instructors are teaching them improperly. They're not doing it correctly.
And what I meant is, first understand what you're doing. You know, it's a little bit complicated, but I think you emphasize often clarity and fundamentals, which means understanding the craft really. And yeah, I mean, certainly procedures and checklists are a must have done.
Yeah, but you know, like, I'll give you an example. I had a flight not that long ago, two or three weeks ago. I was coming back from Palm Springs with my family. So my children on board, my wife on board, and a very heavy aircraft on a very hot day. So it was we were loaded to maximum gross weight, and it was about, in Fahrenheit, 105 degrees, so maybe 45 Celsius, I think, something like that, 40. I mean, very, very hot day. And I had an airspeed indication that was not accurate. It turned out there was a bug in the pitot tube, but it was a very challenging moment on the takeoff and on the departure, figuring out what was really happening. And at the end of it, I realized what the problem was. And once I knew that it was an erroneous airspeed indication, I felt very comfortable, because then I thought, okay, I'll just ignore the airspeed and fly pitch and power all the way home. So I flew pitch and power, and all of my approaches that I do when I land are power off. So I felt very comfortable in that situation. And I wondered afterwards about some younger pilots, you know, are they being taught that basic relationship with pitch and power? Do they feel comfortable doing power off approaches to the runway without airspeed? Is this, you know, do they have that connection to the basics of flying? And, when I teach my students, for the first 25 hours, we have the instruments covered, you know, and we're using markers to draw on the window so that they can learn sight pictures and power settings. And we make a real investment in that, in those basic skills, so that we can build upon those skills, you know, as we go forward. And that's the kind of thing that I think is missing from a lot of flight training today.
I think this was really a perfect example, because certainly checklists, they are nice, but yeah, if the airspeed indicator is misleading, you have to be able to read. I just was remembering my flight school days when I was taught to listen to the wind and, you know,
yes,
just make common sense. How does the rudder feel and everything, or how does the stick feel? And then you got a picture of what's going on. There must be, you have a lot of indication to, so to say, to read the airspeed without the airspeed indicator. You just made me flying a glider back again.
Yes,
back
exactly.
Back in the 90s again.
That's exactly right. Like all those different cues, you know, like I would describe that as your connection to the airplane. You know, you are...
Sure.
Right, everything that you're feeling, all your senses. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of the glass panel training that's going on is making it a little more difficult for newer pilots to learn that and to experience that. And if you look at, you know, like at the finer points, we have a private pilot syllabus that's many thousands of instructors are using. And it explicitly says if you're using a glass panel system like a G1000 or a whatever it is, that for the first 25 hours, really, the primary flight display should be dark and you should use the backup instruments. And if you're using a standard panel airplane, you should have those flight instruments covered. And it's not that the student can't look at them, but they're just covered in such a way that they're not able to stare at them, that they're the primacy, the first thing that they learn and the first thing that they consider are the things you're describing. What is the pitch attitude of the airplane? What is the power set at? What does the rudder feel like? What does the slipstream sound like? And if you don't invest in that early on, it's very difficult to go back and add that later.
I would call it the depths of the knowledge. Would you agree to this?
It seems that way. Now I'm fighting to keep it alive. I don't know if it's dead, but it's on life.
No, the depths. Sorry, my pronunciation, my English. The depths. You know, the deep, so to say, the broader picture of knowledge, not the depths of knowledge. Sorry.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah, depth of knowledge. Yes. Sorry, I misunderstood you.
The depths of knowledge. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely. It's 100%. Correct. And that's, you know, it's everything is built on a good foundation. Now that I have children, it's interesting because there's a teaching philosophy. I'm not sure if this is common in Europe or not, but it's a Waldorf is the philosophy. And it's a slightly different approach to learning where they wait a little bit. They don't teach the kids to read right away. They're not putting them into hard math lessons when they're 7 years old. Instead, they're building other skills. They're building social skills or problem-solving skills or teaching them art or teaching them how to knit, teaching them how to see a problem through from beginning to end. And then later, when the children are maybe 8 or 9 years old, they start bringing in the more academic knowledge. And instead of a linear progression of learning, a line that just goes straight, you know, maybe up in an angle, it looks more like a hockey stick where it's slow in the beginning, but then at the end, it just accelerates exponentially. And those children, the children that are coming out of those schools in my area, are the top test scoring kids in the whole county. They're getting when they graduate the secondary schools and stuff, they're performing better than all the other kids. And that's really what we've been trying to do with flying. And that's my point, is that if instructors could take 25 hours in the beginning to invest in the foundation so that you're building your house on a very solid foundation, everything else downstream, flying approaches, performing flight maneuvers, doing cross-country flying, whatever it is, all of those other things will be better and that pilot will perform better if the foundation is solid. And unfortunately, when people go in for flight training, there's two things. Most instructors don't know this or see it that way. And also the students are not entirely tolerant of it because they're not being, you know, the instructors aren't confident in that approach. People will go in for flight training and they'll learn how to do a steep turn or how to do a power on stall or a power off stall, and they go right into the maneuvers. Well, if you don't have a solid foundation, you might be able to fly a maneuver, but you really skipped over the learning that the maneuver was designed to teach. Mm-hmm.
Jason, you mentioned the finer points a couple of minutes ago. How did the finer points evolve over time from your work as an instructor in what it is today? I mean, it's certainly a platform.
Yeah, it's it started as a podcast in 2005 and then a YouTube channel in 2007, and really just a way to get some of these thoughts out there, some of the philosophies that I knew that this was somewhat unique because even in my own flight school, people were not choosing to learn this way. And there was one particular instructor that I met, Richard Anderson, who was my mentor really over time. I ended up working for a lot of years, and Richard was charging a lot of money, and it was not easy to go through his program, and most people avoided it. They just went the easy route. And I started to notice, you know, I once I knew that I was going to be a teacher, I gravitated toward Richard, and I just kind of put myself in as his apprentice, you know, and said, I want to learn everything that you have to teach. And one of the things that stood out to me is after I was trained, all of those friends of mine that chose not to train with him started calling me saying, hey, can we go fly this weekend? Can you show me some of that stuff Richard showed you? And then, you know, I started to realize, wait a minute, this is special knowledge. And so that's where the podcast came from. I started to really talk about these concepts and try to get the word out, and the YouTube channel. And ultimately, it evolved into a training platform, which, you know, we have an iOS app today that really is the embodiment of all that work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and certainly also the YouTube channel. I am one of your 142K subscribers.
All right, thank you.
It's an institution here in the internet.
Well, it's quite an honor. It's amazing. You know, now I fly around and I go to airports, and people will recognize me mostly from YouTube, and it's a joy. It's a real honor. And you know, at the end of the day, that's really what got me into training, is helping people succeed, and the joy that I get from helping people, teaching people things they may have never heard before, or saying it in a way that they've never heard. And so when I go to an air show or any airport and somebody says, hey, that Lazy 8 video you did that saved my life, you know, I just love to hear that. It's really a joy and an honor.
Already building a really nice bridge to my next topic here, mentorship and communication, if you allow. What role does mentorship play in aviation today, Jason? And where do you think it's underutilized?
I don't know exactly. Well, I don't know where it's underutilized. I guess part of mentorship is good. It really is, because anything that you're going to, you know, people that have gone down the road before you, even if it's a negative message, mm-hmm. is good learning. You know, for example, like when I was working in Chicago, meeting all those airline pilots that weren't happy with their jobs, and, you know, the NetJet pilots that weren't happy with their schedules, I did not like listening to them complain, but it was a good part of my education. You know,
I led you to the solution, flight instructing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm glad that I know that, you know, for NetJets, 7 days on, 7 days off is a very difficult schedule. And I know that now. So so the learning is always good. But unfortunately, I don't think that mentorship helps much with the problems we're talking about, because I find that most pilots are just passing down what they know, and it doesn't help fill these holes. You know, it doesn't, unless you happen to find a mentor who understands this. You know, like, I'll give you an example. Here at my home base, Juan, I don't know if you know the Blanco Lirio YouTube channel.
Sure. But
yeah, Juan Brown is here also. And Juan is a fantastic mentor. He's a great, he understands it all, and he and I agree on almost everything when it comes to flying. And he has a mentor, Kellen, who works on his YouTube channel. And so Kellen happened to find a wonderful mentor. But there aren't that many Juan Browns out there. You know, there's just as many mentors probably telling people, oh, don't worry about that. Just get to the airlines as fast as you can. You know, get your seniority number, and then you'll be able to upgrade to captain. You know, they're, you know, so you really have to kind of listen to everybody, and that's very easy to do today because there are podcasts and YouTube and whatever. But if you're a young pilot, I think you have to kind of listen to everybody and see where your heart takes you. You know, see if you can. It won't always be great advice, I guess, is what I'm saying.
But also this moment in the podcast, let's allow to jump back into the cockpit. Jason, how important is language and communication, so especially directly in the cockpit, in shaping a pilot's thinking?
Oh, gosh, it's very, very important. It's extremely important. And it's also very difficult. One of the things I say to instructors when I'm teaching classes of instructors is one of the hardest parts of the job is that on the first day, you do everything. And on the last day, you do nothing. And knowing how and when to get yourself out of the equation is a very difficult challenge. So part of it is simply there's an art to when do I say anything at all, you know, because it's just hard to measure. You know, if you're doing everything one day and everything the next day and everything the next day, it's like, how do you get yourself out of that? And then the kinds of communication you're doing, sometimes in the cockpit, it's appropriate to say something immediately, say something harsh and say something intense. There are other times when it's appropriate to say nothing at all, but to make a note on your notepad or kneeboard or lapboard or whatever you have and discuss it after the flight. So that's another difficult thing, knowing what should you deal with right then and there and what should you deal with later. It's interesting that, you know, Richard, my mentor, was, I joke that he was sadistic. He was not a very nice guy. And he would do things like slap me in the back of the head or jab me in the ribs with a metal pole that he had. And I hated it at the time. But I'll be honest, sometimes, and I do not, to be clear, I do not do that to my students. I do not physically assault my students in any way at all. But sometimes I think to myself, he was more effective than I am, you know, and how do I achieve the same level of effectiveness? You know, I used to call it training by trauma, but there's a learning law. It's called the law of intensity. And the law says that those experiences that are intense are experiences that you'll remember. Mm-hmm. And Richard was very good at the law of intensity because he didn't mind assaulting me. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just have to do that with words. And sometimes those words have to be sharp and pointed. Sometimes not. Sometimes the words have to be soft, you know. And this is, you know, when this is really, we're really getting into the art of instruction, which is really what I love. You know, I think that people don't understand the depth, to bring that word back, the depth of how deep instruction can go. I think most people think, well, you sit down and you show them and they do it and then you do it and you transfer this knowledge. But after decades of doing this, most people are in their own way. You know, most students they have egos, of course, they're defensive, you know? So most students, when I say, for example, you were left to the center line on that last landing, most students will say, yeah, but I was on my airspeed. Did you see my approach was perfect, right? So their response to me is a defensive response to my criticism. So learning how to navigate that is always a challenge. So I've learned, for example, with students like that, I would say, man, that approach looked great. Nice job on the approach. You were left of the center line, though, on landing. You need to fix that. And as long as they hear something positive before they hear the criticism, they can open their ears and learn it. And then which words you choose is another one. Is it pull back or is it back pressure? Or is it, more elevator? You know, what are the words that you're actually using? All of that stuff matters. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen maybe do you remember a specific moment where the right explanation of yours really changed a pilot's entire perspective, let's say on a maneuver or something?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's anything I've said, but there's this concept of the Lindbergh reference. I don't know if you've seen that. It's it's I call it the Lindbergh reference, but it's that's just a catchy name for something that other people figured out a long time ago. Rod Machado used to call it the pizza slice, I think. I mean, I don't know. I used to call it the golden reference, but there's this particular, you know, I always say for any problem in an airplane, there's a solution. And the solution is where you look and when you look there. I mean, everything is based on visual references. And I find most students are not taught this. So most students are trying to stretch their neck or crank the seat up really high so they can see over the nose. And once they lose the reference over the nose, they have nowhere to look or nowhere to go. I would say 80% of the time when I tell pilots to push their seat lower and to pitch the aircraft up such that they cannot see forward, and then I teach them what references work when they can't see forward, such as the Lindbergh reference or the left wing reference, that's always an aha moment for pilots. They just, they are usually shocked they haven't been taught that before, and it usually helps with whatever the maneuver is that we're doing.
It was almost just, again, I was in the glider cockpit. I had in the ending phase of my training such a great instructor, and he taught me in easy words, I mean, it's a long time ago, but how to spot out the aiming point, you know, where I really got to the threshold. And this somehow made me, from there on, once it clicked, every landing was, it was easy going. But it was also the visual reference before that, it was unclear. I cannot tell you how he explained it other than the others, but there is often the way a flight instructor explains you something can make a huge difference, can mean a steep learning curve from one flight to the other, or really an approach that is suddenly, yeah, this is a, it's just basic knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes there's no rhyme or reason to that, you know, and we were talking a moment ago about the challenge for instructors, you know, pulling themselves out of the situation. One of the best things instructors can do to help with that, and I still do this religiously, is use colleagues for phase checks. Because when you're working with somebody and your head is completely, you're completely together, it's very easy to lose perspective on the big picture. So if you send your student to a colleague for a phase check, to just any other instructor, it's always a good idea. You as an instructor will learn, your student will learn. And what you said, you know, sometimes just hearing somebody else say something in a slightly different way, or not having the pressure of your main instructor, whatever it is, sometimes that can make a connection that is difficult with the primary student. For me, I learned crosswind landings from somebody that was not my primary instructor. Just happened to be a windy day and my instructor didn't want to fly, but I was hanging out at the airport and somebody else wanted to fly. So I went with a different instructor. Not better, not worse, but the way that instructor said it, the way that instructor showed me, for some reason, it clicked. Yeah. And
Yeah, same happened to me. They were all great instructors, but this one specific instructor, he said it to me, or he explained it to me in the plane in a way I suddenly understood it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I, back then, the others, they said similar things, but I, in his words, was suddenly, yeah, this is the aiming point. Now I know what he's talking about.
Yes, exactly. And actually, I did just think of a very specific example of language that works for me. So I find with side slips, the language I use is point the ailerons in the direction you want the airplane to move and use just enough rudder to prevent the nose from coming with you. So it's a difficult maneuver to teach, because if you look at a forward slip, it's the same control inputs. Like if I was explaining to a student, how do you do a forward slip? Well, you cross control the airplane. You push rudder in one direction and you push aileron in the other direction, and that's a forward slip. And then they say, well, how do you do a side slip? Well, you push aileron in one direction and rudder in the other, and that's a side slip. So what's the difference? And they're very, very different maneuvers. The side slip is very subtle. It's extremely subtle, where the forward slip is a very gross maneuver. So for the forward slip, you would say, just push the rudder to the floor and then used aileron to keep flying a straight path. But the side slip is very subtle. And what I was seeing is that all these students are using too much rudder in the side slip. They'll point the ailerons a little bit because they're afraid to hit the wing on the ground. They won't point it a lot. They'll just bank the aircraft a little bit, and then they'll push a lot of rudder like they do on a forward slip, and the nose kind of goes sideways. And instead of moving sideways, the aircraft is now just kind of cross-controlled, forward slipping, and is going to land with a big side load on the runway. So in an effort to get students to understand the subtlety of the side slip, I started to say only enough rudder to prevent the nose from coming. So you use the ailerons to bank in the direction you want the airplane to move, and looking forward, just enough rudder to stop the nose from coming, not point the other way, but just to prevent it from coming with you. And that language clicks for a lot of people.
No clue how you're making this magic experience, but my mind is already again wandering back to flight school Styria and a super safe flight. You know, there is so much fun in a side slip in a training glider plane. It's safe, it's fun, and it's almost magic. You can make the steepest approach possible and still, land on point.
Yes, I know. It's great.
Yeah, Jason, we are recording this, as we said before, in April, but the interview will be online by the beginning of July. Back to the final points. Is there something you're currently working on and you'd maybe like to share with the audience, some news on the horizon on?
Well, you know, we're just continuing to invest in the app that we make. And, you know, I'm really fortunate to have an incredible team of people. We've got 9 other instructors, that work on it. We've got, it's over 100,000 hours of combined experience. These folks are really, it's a fantastic team. We've got a software engineer and a video producer, and we don't make a lot of money. We are really passionately engaged in making something better, making something different, and making something that will help pilots everywhere stay proficient and stay current. And so we've really just scratched the surface. But, to give you an example, inside of our app, we've built a technology that we call Tap Target, where we can show the user, we can show the viewer the cockpit video from the pilot's perspective of a maneuver starting to go bad, let's say a turn and you're starting to descend, and we've asked you to touch, like just tap the screen where you see it and when you see it. So using the video in the app, we can teach you where the references are. This is where you're supposed to be looking. This is the first place you're going to see the maneuver go bad. This is the first place you're going to see the stall occur. And that's just one example of the kind of thing we're investing in, but we're really trying to create a product that helps pilots succeed and learn the fundamentals and fill the holes that they may not have, holes of knowledge that they may not have learned from their original instructors.
Jason, you promised me around a half an hour, so we are already over time. Is there any topic you want to have a little bit more exploration or a deep dive into, any specific topic we picked up that was a little bit shorthanded, or is there anything in your sphere you want to share with the listeners?
Not really a topic, but I'm always excited about our airplane camp trips, and I would imagine you have a large European audience, so I just want to
wow, sounds interesting, go on.
Yeah, we 3 or 4 times a year we take pilots out in the wild. So this October we're going to Monument Valley, Utah. It's a beautiful place. We bring, usually it ends up being 15 or 20 aircraft and 30 or 40 pilots. We bring food provided. We bring survival training. We bring lecturers. There's, we have people that lecture to us. We go fly the canyons of the Southwest over Monument Valley and Lake Powell. And it's really an extraordinary weekend, and I just wanted to invite any of your European audience, if they'd like to join us. We have rental aircraft, and they can find out more about airplane camp at learnthefinerpoints.com.
Sounds amazing. Yeah, sounds like, hopefully, a bucket list item of many pilots. Monument Valley, Utah. Wow. Yeah, well, from my side, all I can say is thank you. And yeah, as you might know, I call myself a mentor because I support pilots and aviation candidates with the mental side of performance, Jason. And at the end, I mean, a small personal note from my side, a little present, if you feel ever like further exploring the mental side of performance or preparation, I'd be happy to offer you a session, certainly completely open and without any strings attached.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Jürgen. Thanks for having me today, too. It's fun talking to you.
Thank you for every minute and for every minute. And yeah, all the best. And thank you, Jason.
Okay, welcome back in the studio, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this interview. I really enjoyed listening to it again. Yeah, like I said before the interview, very likable person, great personality. I think a teacher through and through, and lots of interesting points raised.
Yeah, and I mean, first things first, thank you, Jason Miller, and for all of you out of there, dear listeners. If you'd like to explore more of his work, you can find him through The Finer Points on YouTube, through his podcast, and through the official The Finer Point website, which is learnthefinerpoints.com, including the Ground School app and his adventure training trips. Adventure training trips, yes, there are. Yeah, as we also heard in the interview. And I think it was a brilliant interview by a brilliant, as I said, flight instructor and communicator.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It was super interesting. And I could tell it took you back to your training days. Huh? There were lots of memories coming back. I could hear that in the interview. And when I was listening to it, the same happened to me. You know, it took me back to the days when I had to learn how to fly and did the ground school and all that stuff. So it was a nice walk down memory lane, I think, for both of us.
I think Miller did some magic to me. There were suddenly scenes I almost forgotten. And now it was really a nice interview, also because of those, you know, my brain suddenly started, hey, this is exactly what happened in Niederöbland, and hey, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what an aviation podcast is all about. And by the way, it's really, thank you. I mentioned LinkedIn in the beginning, and there was a person, he was in contact with me first on LinkedIn, and afterwards I received such a nice voicemail from Africa, and that we are really somehow our unedited or so to say uncut conversations here and grounded, that there was some really double thumbs up for our podcast. It's really, yeah, thank you also for the positive feedback all over the place. You're really a great community out there, aviation community. I didn't know you, now I know you, and you are a great community.
Yes. I think generally people in aviation are a great bunch. And
I only knew a small part of the community, but certainly now Stefan made this, so to say, a large part of my life, a major part of my life somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody is doing matching of me. Stefan and Jason Miller, I'm just part of a great project here. Let's leave it like this.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah, it's always been an industry I absolutely love. The people in aviation generally are all very special. And for those of you who don't work in the industry, it's like a big family, and it doesn't matter if you go through the terminal and you see another crew, even if it's a competitor of yours, it doesn't matter. Everyone smiles and says hello. If you're in uniform and you meet another person in uniform, be it cabin crew or pilot, doesn't matter what company they are from, you can just start a conversation and everyone is very welcoming and nice. So this is a thing I really, really like about the industry. Like I said in one of the other podcasts, I briefly lost my job and had to work in an office environment for a while. And that felt completely different. And I have to say, very alien to me. So I'm glad to be in this industry. And I think, Jürgen, you can feel the same, right? It's like a big family where everybody is working towards the same goal.
Yeah, and it's still, I mean, especially I really like this way in the moment, I have to say, of the communication at LinkedIn, especially. It's, yeah, there's no hurry, but when there is a message, it's often almost formal, you know, which is for me, I'm out of the chat. I was never, somehow I was never a social media chatter. This was never my way. I don't know, I'm an author, I'm a writer, I've written 7 books and I like to take some thoughts in what I write and then I write it. And I think this really is appreciated on LinkedIn. By the way, there is each Thursday afternoon a little giveaway from my, I mentioned in the beginning, my mental coaching syllabus for aviation professionals. And every Thursday afternoon, there is a free version, so to say, a LinkedIn version, I publish on LinkedIn, normally on 3 p.m. But speaking of direct links, so the LinkedIn profile is my name, Jürgen Reiss, is in the teaser. This episode also includes, at the end of the teaser, some direct links of our today's guests platform, so Jason Miller, Finer Points, etc. And there is also the direct link of the Discord server. And I think, Stefan, we had this idea, and I just thought we make a spontaneous, so to say, announcement. If you have questions to us, why don't you just put them into the aviation podcast section on Stefan's Discord server, and we could maybe take care of them in special episodes. What do you think about this, Stefan?
Yeah, I mean, we've done one FAQ episode already. So if anyone, you know, because there are things that keep popping up again and again.
Yeah.
So
but
if,
why not? I mean, if there exactly. are new questions, certainly we will not repeat the old ones. But
no.
As I said, there's a Discord server, and I just thought, because there is something going on. I mean, we are already at episode 35. And certainly also if you want to have yourself on the podcast or know a friend who would suit this format, just write us, communicate with us.
Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes you have a question and the question can be answered fairly quickly. So there's no point in having a whole episode, like a 10-minute episode. But if we collect them all up and answer several questions like we did last time, then of course we can fill an episode with all your questions. All right. Yeah, from my side, I think we've discussed everything. You know, we've done all the social media thing, you know, like and subscribe and all that jazz, which we're really bad at.
So we didn't, and we leave it away. But yeah,
yeah.
We're looking forward to hearing from you, maybe reading from you. And yeah, thank you, Stefan, for your time.
Yeah, for yours as well, Jürgen. As always, it's been a pleasure. And I suppose we stay in the line and discuss what's happening over the next few weeks. Anyway, to our listeners, thank you so much for being here with us again. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I thought it was very interesting. Also from my side, a big thank you to Jason for taking time out to talk to us. Okay. And then we hope to see you next week. Until then, all the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC, Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.